Hey there, I'm Melissa Batt, the host of Priorities on Purpose, a podcast for overwhelmed women who are tired of going through the motions. You know there has to be more to this life than the cycle of numbing out, scrolling social media, exhausting yourself with a never-ending to-do list, and still feeling like a failure at the end of the day. You have hope that tomorrow will be different, and I'm here to help you make sure that it actually is. I'm a Christian life coach, and on this podcast, we talk all about intentional living, mental health struggles, and tangible ways to be the best versions of ourselves with Jesus at the center. I promise to be your hype girl and biggest cheerleader as I share simple strategies to help you get out of your rut, eliminate distractions, and live the life you are created for. Are you ready to go beyond existing and learn how to truly live? Put your earbuds in and let's get to it, friend. Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Priorities on Purpose. I'm your host, Melissa Batt, a Christian life coach and faith mentor. And today we're going to talk about one of the things that I do every single year. I've been doing it for a few years now. I think I started it in 2021. Through someone I follow on Instagram. I cannot remember who it was. It may have been a girl named Blake. If you follow her, she shares a lot of good stuff. But when she shared it, I just knew, oh, this is good. And I remember like screenshotting the prompts and knowing like, I've got to do this. So I've been doing it ever since. You can do it a lot of different times. I normally do it at the beginning of every year. But your girl just had a birthday, and so I think that would be a great time to do it as well. Obviously, I'm recording this in March, so you can't do it in January this year, but you could do it in January next year. This year, if you haven't had your birthday yet, go on and do it at your birthday, or just do it today. It doesn't matter, really, but the key is to do this because it is mind-blowing. When you think of the progress you've made once you go back and read it from years past. This little process is basically helping you find the lessons of the last year, okay? It's very simple. There's going to be three questions, I believe. And I've actually been doing this with coaching clients, and they find it very valuable as well. So the first thing that you're going to do is write down five experiences that triggered positive feelings and memories in the last year. Five experiences that triggered positive feelings and memories in the last year. Now listen, you must, it is mandatory for you to think of five. If you think you can't think of five, you had a crappy year, you're going to find five. Because most people, when they start doing this, or maybe it's just me, I don't know. But I know when I first started it, I'm very quick to see the bad and the negative and the bad things that happen versus the positive things. And so thinking of the positive things is a challenge for me. But I did it. And if I can do it, you can do it too. Because I went through some things. And even then, if I looked hard enough, I can find the good. And so I want to challenge you to find the good. Do not stop at three. Do not stop at four. You want five experiences that triggered positive feelings and memories. So, because some of you guys are probably going to have questions, sometimes it's helpful just to know like, well, what did you put? So I can, it'll then be a springboard of ideas and thoughts of your own. So I pulled out January 2022, one of the journals I have sitting here. And so the five positive experiences that were triggered in 2021, one of them was going to the church that we had started to attend, giving a local church one more try. That was a positive feeling. I didn't want to do it, but I did it. And I am so happy that I did. To this day, I'm so happy that I did. Another one that was on this list was being obedient when God called me to the altar. So at this new church, I still remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I sense God calling me to the altar. And this is weird to talk about now. And I'm going to have to do some other episodes because the church we're at now doesn't do altar calls the same way. It is very different. And for a long time, I attended churches that had altar calls that were very similar. And so for some of you who aren't used to the altar calls that I'm used to, this may not even make sense to you that this is a positive thing, but just roll with it. For me, it was really good. And I had to do the uncomfortable. I didn't want to go to the altar. The thoughts that were going through my mind, I remember, was like, I was at a new church. God was calling me to go to the altar. And my mind was like, I'm already saved. I love Jesus. Like, why do I need to go to the altar? But I started recognizing that there was way more purpose in me going to the altar than just salvation. It was about obedience. And so I learned so much through that. And I'm so thankful that I was willing to do what in the moment did not make sense for me. Another thing that I did that triggered positive feelings and memories in 2021 was doing new things. So that year, I challenged myself to do something new every single month. I'm telling you, the things that I did that were new, some of you are going to be like, that is crazy. Like, I had never put gasoline in a lawnmower. I had never weed eated. I didn't know how to use a chainsaw. I used a pressure washer for the first time. Like, some of it was so silly, but for me, it was such an adventure and it was so fun. And I was like, dang, I can do this. Driving over a bridge. There was just a lot of things that I did that I'd never done before. Wasn't that it was hard things or big things. Some of them were very simple, but I thrived in those experiences. That was 2021. I thought I'd pull up this year's, because I've already done it, obviously, for this year. And so 5 experiences triggering positive feelings in 2023. I spoke up and used my voice like never before to my pastor, to my cousin, to my grandma, to my coach, and to those grieving my grandma. So I was able to talk with my grandma and lead her to know Jesus at the end of her life. I was able to have a conversation and confront a cousin about some things that had happened when I was a child. It sounds silly for some of you to be like, you spoke up to your coach. I'm not even kidding you when I tell you the amount of anxiety and shame I felt about talking about some things that I'd never talked about with anybody. I'm a pretty real and transparent person, but there are some areas where I'm definitely more guarded. And so to let her in on exactly what I was feeling, and some of it was that I thought I might need to go to rehab for disordered eating. So that was one, that speaking up and using my voice. Another one was recognizing that my coaching business is ministry. That actually came from me having a hard conversation with my coach because I felt guilty for wasting her time working with me. I'm telling you, sometimes I'm messed up. I am so messed up. So I pay her money to coach me. I love her. I've talked about Lisa Whittle a lot. She's my coach. And I remember having this conversation because she's a ministry coach. And I know that I want to write a book one day. I know that I want to speak across the country. But right now, what's the most important is coaching clients. That's the season that I am in right now. And I did not recognize that my coaching business was ministry. I thought this podcast, that's ministry, but I didn't recognize my coaching business as ministry because sometimes I miss the obvious. And so through that conversation, I recognized that it is ministry. It's just ministry that I can actually make income with, which is such a gift from God that we can use our gifts for Him, to bring glory to Him and help others become free. And He can bless us with income to provide for whatever things that we have that's going on. So another one of the things that triggered positive feelings was seeing my sister thriving. I haven't talked a lot on my podcast about my sister, Jessica. I think I mentioned it a couple of times. You follow me on Instagram. I have a whole story, like highlight story about her. She came to me homeless, living in a U-Haul in November of 2022. And where she is now is a completely different place than where she was then. And it's just a God story. It's such a God story. In fact, one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast is because I always look back at the years past. So as I was doing this year's, I look back to like what I had written the year before. And one of the things of the negative feelings for the year previously was Jessica showing up at my house because I didn't know what to do with her. And she was living, like I said, she was living in a U-Haul. She was homeless. She had so many mental health issues and was unmedicated for everything that she should be medicated for. And it was just a really sad, hard thing. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do, but I knew I had to try and do something. And so I pretty much had raised my hand and was like, okay, God, use me. I'm going to trust you in this. I don't know what it's going to look like. And by December 2022, it was really bad. Like right before Christmas, she had an issue and she refused to come in the house. We had really cold weather. We had bought a camper to keep at our house for her and there was no heat and she was willing to freeze to death than to come into our house. We ended up having to take her to stay at a hotel. And so it was really bad. This year, again, I want to remind you that seeing my sister and what God has done in her was one of the top five things that blew my mind in a positive way last year. I mean, this girl is going to church without me. This girl has quit smoking. This girl is taking her medication, which is a shot, by the way. All this time, we all thought she just didn't want to take her medicine, but it was that she truly couldn't remember to take it. And so we found someone who could give her medication in a shot form. I know some of y'all nurses and medical people are probably like, that is not the right terminology. I'm not a doctor or a nurse. And I just took her to her appointments. That's all I did and talked to them. So anyway, she is thriving. She hasn't thrown any fits. And I'm telling you, when she threw a fit, like she was threatening to commit suicide. It was really bad. Okay. And she hasn't done that in over a year. And so huge win to see God move in her life. Like she did a fast in January, y'all. Like she did a spiritual fast with our church or her church now because I moved. So again, like positive experiences and feelings for this year. The next question that you're going to ask yourself is, what three things contributed to negative feelings or negative experiences last year? In the last year, what are three negative? Listen, only three. Some of us can definitely think of more than three, but I want you to think of like the three things that are like the worst. If you have four, fine, write the fourth. But I feel like we have more struggle writing the positive than the negative. So I want to challenge you to do the negative. And so here's some examples from 2021, okay, that I had written. I had felt blindsided by people I thought were good and quickly learned that they were not good. They were manipulative, potentially narcissistic. I think they were definitely, but I am not a professional. Worrying about family who had COVID the year before. My mom had COVID, my dad had COVID, my grandma, I think, had COVID. Like, so that was a lot. And then another negative feeling was related to our finances. We had bought a gym, and in buying that gym, we took money that we probably shouldn't have taken to invest in it, knowing that it was a good deal and a good business decision, and that we would get our money back quickly because it was already, the gym was already making money. It wasn't just, it wasn't a new gym. It was an already established gym. And so we were going to make bank. Great decision until you are in a partnership with people that are very manipulative. So they ended up refusing to let us have our profits. And so money was very tight. And at the same time, my husband had went into business with his boss. And so he was worried he was going to lose his job. He didn't want to work there anymore. We spent the whole year with him trying to find another job. It was just a lot. That was the negatives from 2021. Negatives for last year. Losing my grandma was a big one. I had wrote losing my grandma, but before that, it was going to help take care of her. I had so much fear in allowing myself to be gentle. So there was a lot of feelings, deep sadness, guilt for not appreciating what I had, fear of not feeling capable. I think you can go back and listen to a couple of the episodes where I talked about going to help my grandma. Man, I'm telling you, it was rough and it was really sad losing my grandma, but there was so much healing in it, but it was still negative, obviously. We never want to lose somebody. Another negative for 2023 was coming to the realization that the season is changing. I'm currently no longer living near all of my kids. I had to realize they're growing up and they're going to be making their own plans and starting their own traditions. And it's time for mama to step back a bit. That was really hard for me. And we now live 2 hours away from our older two. And they are both, one is getting married in a couple months and the other one is going to be married within a year. He's in a serious relationship. They're talking the engagement. I'm sure it's not going to be long before they take those extra steps. And so I'm recognizing that they're their own person. They don't have to listen to me anymore. And while it's good and it's healthy, it is hard as a mama. And now I know why my mom, I just turned 44. And when I come back from her house, when I used to live in South Carolina, like 14 hours away from family, I've been on my own for a long time. And when I go home to visit, she still gets upset with me if I don't call her and tell her I made it home safely. Anyone else? And I used to have like, mom, I'm on my own every other day. Like, why do you still need to know this? But then I'm like, on the other side of it, I'm very thankful that my kids still allow me to have them on Life 360. I feel like that's going to be going away soon. And they're going to be like, can we like disengage from this? But right now, if I wake up in the middle of the night, it just makes me feel good to know that I can look at Life 360 and be like, okay, they're at home. They're in their bed. All is good with the world. Anyways, but that was hard. If you have children that are getting a little older, I love it, but there is this tension of learning to keep your mouth shut. Because just because you think you know and you think they want to know, sometimes they don't want to know, nor are they going to take what you say and change their mind about anything. So that one was really hard. And then another really hard thing for me with the negative feelings for this last year was just recognizing that I placed more value on friendships and relationships than other people did, or maybe just learning that what I wanted in a friend wasn't what God thought I needed at that time. I thought in some of my friendships that we were way closer than what we ended up being. That was really hard and really sad because I had high hopes for those friendships and I thought they were going to be something that they turned out not to be. And I really struggled with that. But I also had to recognize that, you know, maybe that's the way God wanted it. Like maybe it was, especially now that I've moved, maybe that was to help me be able to move a little bit more easily. I don't know. But again, those are the negative feelings. So that should give you a general idea of things to come up with on your own. So the next question you want to ask yourself is, what lessons did you learn over the last year? So biggest lessons. So this is for this year. You're a sovereign God and nothing surprises you. All is a benefit to your kingdom and I'm part of the plan. That was one of them. Another one was healing is hard. Every year there's this constant theme and that is that I can do hard things. I can do hard things and you can too. So this is one of those where last year was all about healing for me. So this is what I have written. I'm just going to read it because if I try to paraphrase it, I'm going to miss it. And I don't remember what I wrote. So I'm a little nervous about reading it for you. But here we go. Healing is hard. Facing trauma from my past was harder. And yet I didn't face any of it alone. My flesh really wants to settle and live in victimhood. But what you have for me is so much better. It's a life of victory and wholeness to share the gift of Jesus with others and lead them into a life of hope, salvation, and intimacy with the God of eternity. And that's where they will find the true peace. And then another one that I wrote of one of my biggest lessons from 2023 was this. I'm just going to read it. I was reminded that when you prompt me to do something, say something, or have a conversation with someone, you are already at work and have been preparing others for what you are asking of me. It will work out as planned if I am obedient and do it. So again, one of the most positive things was the obedience of speaking up and saying things that God wanted me to say. Which is funny because I think now I'm on the other side of it where he's like, okay, now I'm going to teach you to not say anything. Sometimes it's okay not to say anything. On the other side of it now, he's teaching me there. But last year, I remember there were so many times when God called me to say something and I was like, are you serious? I'm going to look like a weirdo. And one of those instances was with my doctor. And so I sensed that God had a message for me to share with my doctor. And I was like, you've got to be kidding. I can't do this. And she saw the look on my face and she's like, what is wrong? What's going on? And I was like, I don't know how to tell you this, but I just feel like God has a message that he wants me to share with you. I don't know what it means. I'm just going to tell you what it is and you can do with it what you want. I'm not the most smooth talker, but that's what I said. And I told her, I felt at the time, I'm trying to think, I don't know what words I told her, but basically what it came down to was she was supposed to be doing something that she wasn't doing. And the question was what are you doing? Is that this isn't what you're supposed to be doing? And it was related to her job. In the medical profession, okay? Do you understand? Someone who went to school for a really long time, and here I am questioning that, little weird, didn't want to do it. But I did because I knew, that was God. I would never say something like that to somebody. I'm like, are you kidding me? No, I wouldn't say that. That's how I knew it was God. And so when I told her that, she got a little emotional. And she was like, you have no idea how much I appreciate you saying that. She didn't tell me a lot of details or anything, but she was like, it's something I've been thinking about a lot. And I really needed to hear that. And I was like, okay. Like awkward, not a moment that I was super comfortable in. I was just being obedient. Like that was it. It was obedience, not yay me. And so I tell you this because this was the lesson for me. I knew then just by how emotional she got that God was really working on her. But later I will tell you that I got a letter in the mail from the doctor's office where I went saying that she was resigning and was no longer going to be practicing and that I was going to need to find another doctor. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Like, my mind was blown. And again, I'm not saying I'm the reason she left or did that, but I do know that God used me to reaffirm or something. You know what I mean? Like, I had this tiny little piece of that because I was willing to be obedient. And again, mind blown. And so just this reminder and the lesson of if God tells you to do it, he's already working it out. Like, you're not just supposed to look like a crazy person. And so many times, like, we get stuck in that fear of like, I don't want to look like a weirdo. So anyways, that was a huge lesson. Another one was transitions matter. This one's really good. I could do a whole podcast episode on just these lessons that I learned. And maybe if you guys want me to, I can go into a deeper dive because these are really good. But these are like would be longer episodes on how I got to learn this, right? So this one says transitions matter. If I were truly to skip to the good part, when we want to fast forward, we would miss some of the greatest moments and lessons God has for us. There's purpose in the waiting. So that was because I struggle a lot with the transition of things. I have a lot of stuff that I am still working out to this day on me, like, I guess, needs not being met, or like I'm always waiting for the ball to drop. So like when we were selling our house, I can't pack until the papers like are signed and the house is officially no longer mine and the money is in my bank. Like I'm always waiting for the next, like that shoe to drop or whatever that saying is. And so in that, it almost paralyzes me in fear. And so, of course, I'm like, wake me up when it's over. I don't want to deal with it. It's so hard. And it's still really hard. But what I recognize is that even in that, that transition has a purpose. You may not recognize it, but it definitely has a purpose. Those tender moments with my older boys, some of the time, I was in my bed and I couldn't fully be present because I was so emotional over the idea of moving. But when I could, man, those were beautiful moments. And I was able to still show up. Part of me wanted to even skip going to church because I'm like, I'm moving churches anyway. Might as well, because I wanted to protect my heart. But listen, because I was still going to church, like there were people from our church that we were attending before we moved that shared things with me that I never knew all this time, which by the way, if you ever have something you want to say to somebody, don't wait until they're moving to tell them because it would be so much more impactful to tell them while they're still there. I don't think she has any idea how blessed I was by her telling me this, but she told me, she was like, she found out I was moving and she told me, I want you to know how much I appreciate you. And I just want to thank you for being so kind and welcoming to me when I started coming to this church. You were the first person to make me feel welcome and befriend me. I had no idea. Honestly, I thought she'd always been there. I didn't know she was new. Had no idea. I just saw a need, met a need, and was friendly. Right? Like I had no idea. And man, I think of how bad I needed to hear that because I loved that church. But always felt like there was more I was supposed to be doing there. I got discouraged a lot. And like, if anyone listens from that church, like I did, like I wanted to do more. I wanted to serve more. And I just, I don't know, like I now recognize like God was in all of it, but there were moments when I felt like it was rejection. Like I wasn't good enough to serve or to be invited in to some of the ministries that were there. And I really wrestled with that, my self-esteem, all of it. And so to hear her say that, man, I needed to hear that. And so if I would have just stayed in bed and skipped until the move, I would have missed that. I would have missed being able to have those conversations with people. And she wasn't the only one. There were several conversations like that where God could still use me, but then he used other people to bless me. Like it was just beautiful and was so necessary. And so again, that was a big lesson. Transitions matter. If God wanted you to move or me to move the very next, like sell my house and be gone the next day, he could have done that, right? He is God, but he didn't. And so we have to recognize there's purpose in the waiting. There's purpose in the in-between. So again, like those are the questions. And I just want to challenge you to journal on it. Ask God. Some of it won't come right away to you. The more you do it, the easier it'll get. But it's so fun to then go back and look at last year's and the year before that, as the years go by, if you continue this practice. And so I want to challenge you to do it. 5 experiences that trigger positive feelings and memories, 3 things that contributed to negative feelings or experiences, and what were the biggest lessons of the last year? Oh, one last question. What do you want to do more of this year? This is important because so many times we focus on what was, but we don't take time to be proactive for the year to come. So what is the goal for this year? And I still do a word of the year. This process, all of it, helps me become more clear on where I'm going so that I know like what my word of the year should be. What do you want to do more of this year? I'm going to read what I wrote for that because I honestly don't know. I don't remember what I wrote. More fun, to stop taking life so seriously and always being about an agenda. To be in the moment, free of worry and not thinking of the future. This is something that God and I are really working on because I'm always looking at how something can like work into my plans or where I'm going that I forget to actually be present in the moment. And so that's something that I'm working on, which is part of what my word of the year is about. More peace, to stop feeling so overwhelmed and all over the place emotionally, less mental health struggles, more energy. Can I get an amen to that? And so I'll tell you, my word of the year is follow. Some of the words that were on the list was restore, nurture, submit, surrender. I chose follow because of a specific Bible verse that just kind of stuck out to me. But submit is probably the closest. It's not about like following other people. It's about submitting and not just submitting to God. But God has shown me these areas of my life where I am not the most humble. I sometimes have some pride issues and I want to be in control. And so to do all of the things that I want to do, to have more fun and have more energy and less mental health struggles and more peace, I have to let go of control, which means that I have to follow God and submit to him and also just like let go. It's surrendering that control and being present in the moment. And that's even with my husband. Sometimes I like to be the one in control. And God is like, nope, we're not doing that anymore. I think for a season, it was necessary. It's no longer necessary. Therefore, I am not to be the one in control. And so I'm going to have way more joy. I'm going to have way more fun, more peace, more everything, except for the mental health struggles. When I surrender and be present in the moment, following Jesus and denying myself. And so the Bible verse, I think I read it on another episode as well, but I'll read it to you again. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. So it's about denying myself of what I think I want to follow God and trust that what he has is better than what I can have on my own. All right. So that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you use these questions, journal prompts, and process some of your feelings, some of your emotions, and what God is doing in your life. And send me a DM on Instagram. Let's connect and share with me if you have any birthday traditions or beginning of the year traditions like this that you do. If you do a word of the year, I want to know that as well. Just talk to me. I want to hear about it. And lastly, let me know if you want to hear more about some of those lessons so I can go into it with more details, because there's some big lessons. And man, if I can learn a lesson and then help you learn it without you going through the things I had to go through, that's a win for me in all ways. All right, take care. Hey friend, that's it for this episode. If you found value, I would love it if you could take a couple of seconds and leave me a quick review. While it may seem super simple, it is so beneficial and gives me the opportunity to help more women. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media with your biggest aha today. Don't forget to tag me at Melissa Bad Official so we can connect. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, friend, keep walking it out one baby step at a time, because God's got you.